And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, a blessed feast of St. Peter, and we venerate the saints in our church tradition. We hold them up as models and examples of how to live out the Christian life. And we have a lot we can learn from St. Peter. He's remembered in our church with a carving on the Cave Creek cross. If you look at the eastern face, there is a portrayal of the miraculous catch of fish at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And you remember the account where Peter had been fishing all night. He already knew who Christ was, but he was there in the morning listening to the sermon of Christ. And Jesus teaching the people, many were pressing in, and so he asked Peter if he might use his boat to stand in, move it a little bit out in the water to make a natural amphitheater. And after he was done teaching, he then said to Peter, launch out into the deep. So they went out in the boat, and he said, now cast out your nets for a draught. And Peter said, well, we've been fishing all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So he threw the nets out, and they were able to bring in such a haul of fish that it began to sink the boat. And Peter fell at the feet of the Lord and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So such was the beauty of the miracle, and also the purity of the Lord, that Peter was like, I shouldn't be in the same place as you, so depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And what does Jesus do when Peter says, go away? He stays right there. He doesn't leave. That's instructive to us. There is something beautiful written about the nature of our Lord, and this is found in the second epistle of Timothy, when St. Paul writes to Timothy that if we believe not, yet Christ abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So we may be in a place of unbelief, but that doesn't change who Jesus is. And Jesus doesn't deny himself. So in this place where Peter would play the shame and blame and I shouldn't be with you because you're too pure and so on, Jesus doesn't play that. He stays right there. He doesn't change who he is. And that love of God that is now incarnate in Jesus is present toward Peter. And he says to him, I will make you a fisher of men. And that promise is certainly fulfilled in the life of St. Peter. He becomes a great fisher of men. We see this when he is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and preaches a sermon that brings thousands to conversion. 3,000 were added to the church that day. So he opens up the gospel to his own people, to the Jewish people that day on Pentecost. And then we see that he opens the gospel to the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans were hated of the Jews. They were people that were despised. And yet Peter goes to Samaria because the gospel had been preached to those in Samaria and they had received the gospel. But as yet, the Holy Spirit had not yet come down. So Peter and John went up to pray. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We see that in the ministry of St. Peter. He opens the gospel to the Samaritans. And then we see later how he opens the gospel to those who are outside the pale, to the Gentiles. And this occurs after Jesus is carefully instructed by the Lord, who, when Peter is praying on Simon the Tanner's roof during the afternoon, a sheet comes down. He sees it in a vision, a big sheet with all kinds of animals. Some were clean and some were unclean. And the Lord said, Peter, rise up, slay, and eat. And he said, no, Lord, some of these animals are unclean. I'm paraphrasing. I can't eat those and never have eaten those. And the Lord said, what I call clean, don't call unclean. So it's an instruction to him, and it prepares him for a messenger that comes from Cornelius, who is a devout pagan, who prays every day, who is seeking the Lord, who is giving alms, is very generous with his material possessions. And his prayer comes before the Lord, and he sends Peter to him to give him the gospel. And for the first time in his life, Peter goes under the roof of a Gentile person. He's always kept himself separate as a Jew. Never has he gone under somebody else's roof. But here he does. And when he comes under, he explains the gospel to Cornelius and his family. And the Holy Spirit comes down like on the day of Pentecost. And Peter is so moved by this that he says they must now be baptized. So they baptize the household of Cornelius. And now the gospel is open to the Gentiles. And Peter makes a sincere defense of this movement of the Holy Spirit before the other apostles. And they come into agreement at the First Council of Jerusalem that indeed there is salvation by the grace of God through the work of Jesus Christ for those who are now in all the world. So we have now what we call the Catholic faith, a faith for all who will come to faith in Christ. Not by works, but by faith in Christ are we saved. And this message goes out now into all the world. So Peter becomes a great fisher of men. We see that. Now we can take lesson from that, that maybe we're in a place where we feel ashamed by our shortcomings, and we think that we maybe don't belong with Jesus. But no, even though we would deny him, he doesn't deny who he is. He's the same. His love toward us is ever present, always giving, always for the asking. And so we can learn from Peter that we can be cleansed of our sins, brought into newness of life, and equipped for ministry in the church in some form or other. And this is a gift given to us that we remember on St. Peter's Day. Now, St. Peter had kind of an impetuous personality. If you read closely, there are a lot of stories about St. Peter in the Gospels. In fact, even in our prayer book, which is how we live out the Gospel, his name is mentioned over 70 times. I mean, there's a lot about Peter. So we can't be exhaustive in the short confines of a sermon, but there are many times where he, you know, jumped forward but then had to, you know, and then fell back, jumped forward in faith but fell back in his mistake. In fact, one we might point to is the example even of today's gospel lesson. So he makes a profession of faith that is only by God the Father can you know this, Simon Barjona, because it's not on the level of our human nature that you know who Jesus is, that he is indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, and the Son of God, truly divine. Only God can reveal that to you. So he makes a profession of faith that is profound. In fact, Jesus says, "On this I will build my church." Now, in the Anglican way, we don't see the church built on Peter the man. We would say that the church is built on the faith of Peter, the rock, the rocky foundation of the faith of Christians is the proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's upon that which Jesus will build his church, the faith that Peter expresses. Not on the man, because the man is fallible. Right? St. Peter makes mistakes. In fact, he makes a big mistake. Right after he makes that proclamation of faith, what does he say in St. Matthew's Gospel? I'll read it to you because it's pretty extraordinary. So if you read, in the same instance, the same moment in time, that he makes a proclamation of faith and is praised for it, then Jesus began to show this Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and that he must be killed and on the third day rise again to new life, or be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? The audacity of Peter. He's going to correct the Lord, but he began to rebuke him. "Far be it from you, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Is there any sterner rebuke that we hear in the Gospels than that? "Get thee behind me, Satan." It's an astounding rebuke. But St. Peter is saying those things that are against the truth of Jesus' ministry, that he indeed must enter, as prophesied, must enter into these sufferings for the sake of the salvation of the human race. This work must be accomplished. That pure and one holy sacrifice must be offered for the remission of the sins of the world. And so for Peter to say, "This will never happen to you," is against the truth of the gospel. And so he gets a rebuke. What does this show us? It shows that, you know, Peter jumps forward in faith and falls back in a mistake. Don't we see that again with Peter? when he's going to walk on water and does for a little bit, then he gets afraid, takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. When he says at the Last Supper, I'll be with you, Lord, until death. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, well, actually, before the cock crows twice, you will thrice deny me. And it's not long after, in the house of Caiaphas, that Peter is there, the house of the high priest, saying he doesn't even know who Jesus is, denies him three times, then the cock crows. And don't we see that in Peter? These, you know, jumps forward and falls back. But what do we find that, they're too many to explain. I mean, it's just the nature of Peter. He's always, you know, right out there, but then falters and falls back. What happens here? Though he denies Christ, Jesus doesn't deny himself. Jesus is the same. His love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he restores Peter. There is a threefold restoration of Peter. After the threefold denial, there's a threefold restoration. That after he is risen from the dead on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus calls Peter aside and he reconciles him with a threefold reconciliation and tells and reminds him to feed his flock. So we see that as hopeful for us too. There are times when we are going to be very, you know, leap out in faith. We're going to be doing the right things. We're going to make a bold proclamation for God. We're going to get our spiritual disciplines in order. We're going to be really moving, and then we fall back. We backslide by the gratification of our sinful desires, by the ways of the world, by the whisperings of the enemy. And are we going to fall into despair at that point? No. We're going to recognize our fallen humanity. We're going to cry out for mercy. We're going to repent and allow Jesus to reconcile us, to be reconciled to God through Christ. We're going to accept his forgiving love, and we're going to press again anew into the kingdom, which Peter does. He presses new, and we can take courage from that. There's another point where Peter has another one of these, you know, press forward and then oops. And that's when, after he has opened the gospel to the Gentiles with the house of Cornelius, then he demonstrates the reality of the gospel that Jesus is for all people, regardless of their racial background, regardless of their tribe. There is no consideration anymore of tribe. We are all now brothers and sisters in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. So Peter begins to operate that way, live out the gospel that way. But he makes a mistake. And he does that even after his apostleship has been conferred by the breathing of Christ in the Holy Spirit on the day of the resurrection, by the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. He's doing the work of an apostle, but he still makes a mistake. Why? Because Peter is not infallible. Peter makes mistakes. And he's corrected by St. Paul. This is an extraordinary moment in the life of the church, the early church, the first generation, that is recorded for us in the second chapter of Galatians. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, listen to this. St. Paul writes, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Strong language. For before certain men came from James, Peter used to eat with the Gentiles, had a common table. They all ate together. But when they arrived, those Jewish men that were from James, from the, you know, they came up. Oh, then Peter began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to those who were circumcised. So he began to see the distinction of tribe and group and left the table of the Gentiles and began only to eat with the Jewish people. The other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy. Peter led the way, the other Jews, they separated from the Gentiles and began to have just the Jewish club over here, Gentiles over here. And so by that, their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So that's an extraordinary rebuke and correction by Paul when he says that to Peter. Well, we can take a lesson from that. There will be times in our Christian life where we press forward in the kingdom, where we are illuminated and know how to act and how to be, and then we may fall away from that for a time, and then we're corrected again. There may be a word of truth that comes to us by reading the Bible, by being well-versed in Scripture. There may be a gentle admonition given to us by a friend in the faith. There may be some kind of correction given, maybe by a clergy, where we're shown that we're not acting like we should as a Christian. I'll suggest to you that, I'm actually kind of hopeful about our particular time in our national civic life. As we come up on a celebration of Independence Day, I'm kind of glad that we're seeing a bit of a correction happening with a clarification or a reckoning on how we have been operating in regard to racial distinctions in our country. In my lifetime, there was a very hopeful movement through the civil rights movement of an eradication of the consideration of race. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't judge a person by the color of their skin, but instead by the content of their character. That's how I grew up in my youth. Kind of distressing in the last 5 years, since 2020 and the George Floyd riots and the promulgation of diversity, equity, and inclusion, that suddenly race is back on top as an important way to measure the man or the woman. That's a bit distressing. I'm glad there's a bit of a reconsideration of that happening in our country. Why? Because truly, if you live out the gospel, there is a consideration for what we would call equal opportunity. If all men are created equal, they shall have equal opportunity, regardless of their race. But the diversity, equity, and inclusion is different. It doesn't talk about equality. It talks about equity. That focuses now on equality, or the equal outcomes. Not equal opportunity, but equal outcomes. That's a very different thing. It doesn't focus on the individual and the potential they have. Instead, it focuses not on the person, but on their group identity. And that, I think, is off the mark. So I'm kind of happy that there is kind of a reconsideration of what this means for our country, that we should be colorblind and see people as human beings and not as simply members of a certain group, right, that has to have preferential treatment. No, let us see people as people. And I think we see the correction that was given to St. Peter as one that can resonate in our own time and place, that we should be joyful as Christians, that the gospel has gone out into all the world, and that we see Jesus Christ as the Savior of all people, no matter where they're from. That's why we say we're Catholic. We're Catholic, we're not Roman Catholic. So we're Catholic, but not Roman. We're Orthodox, not Eastern. But in our Catholic faith, we would say that Jesus is the Savior of all human beings, of all humans, of all people. So we rejoice in that and extend the fellowship to all who would come to faith in Christ. We see that in the early church, they shared a common table, and we too share a common table. So the table of the Lord here at Christ Church is open to all who would come to Christ in faith and partake of this great sacrament that he has given to us. So on this St. Peter's Day, let us take courage from the one who had great courage, from St. Peter has great courage. Let's take courage from him and also be encouraged by the Lord who remains constant. Though we come into a place where we might deny him, yet he never denies himself. He is always the truth. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and always. And let us rejoice in that. Let us come to him and be renewed again by the truth of the gospel and by our proclamation of faith, that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.